Hello? It's the Donster. Oh, hello. Oh, we're going to be landing soon, okay? Yeah. Where are we going to be landing again? Saudi Arabia. Okay. All right, then hold on. Okay. It's due. Green. Okay, I'm ready to take notes. Only say what you tell me to say. Don't deviate from the script. Okay? Yeah. Can I tell them that we hate Muslims too? What? No. Ah, see? They're Islamic, so they must hate Muslims too. Well, they are Muslims. Then why do they call themselves Islamic? Why don't they just call themselves Muslims? Okay. Why do we like them then? Okay. Oh, right, oil. Okay. Okay, so don't say anything about Muslims. Can I talk about Jews? Jared's a Jew, you know. Good with money. Good with money, those Jews. Don't talk about Jews. No talk about Jews. Okay. Can I tell them we like Israel? No. No Israel. No Israel. Okay. But we're still going to Israel. Good, because I'm going to want to get out of the Middle East. Good. Really? Oh, this is complicated. And then Belgium. Oh, that's a country. Really? I thought it was a city. Do we have hotels there? I don't know. Let's make sure we stay at Trump hotels. Okay, what? A treat? A surprise? Oh, I love surprises. Oh, hold on. Oh, okay. My lunchbox. Okay. Oh, a lolly. My favorite, a lolly. Okay, but there'll still be ice cream on the plane, right? I want to make sure there's going to be ice cream on the plane. Okay. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Okay. Bye then.
It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal. David
Leventhal. And in the nick of time, I am here. Welcome to Forward Nation Radio with your host, David Leventhal. Good to have you with us. On today's show, we will be spending a lot of time talking about the news. We'll take listener questions, and we will have a little bit of time afterwards, we hope, to talk about how well Donald Trump is abiding by his promises to his voters. Okay, starting out with the news on a sad note you've all already heard. There's not much that we can add regarding the Manchester bombing terrorism incident at the Ariana Grande concert. We are all in solidarity with those who've lost loved ones. Those who were injured, we wish the best. As we come to grips with living in a world where terrorism becomes a fact of life. As miserable as this whole situation is, hopefully we take comfort in knowing that still the odds are very small that we will be involved in a terrorist incident. And hopefully take comfort from the British experience in teaching us to soldier on and do your best despite heavy hearts. We learned from this incident that there is no level to which terrorists will not stoop to meet their aims, and the importance of having policies and working with our allies to make sure that we make terrorism as rare as we could possibly make it. Okay, Donald Trump is on his first foreign trip right now. So far, hasn't screwed up really badly, so we can all be happy about that. What does it say that when the President of the United States goes to meet with foreign leaders, the entire American public collectively holds its breath, wondering what this man-child is going to do that's going to undermine U.S. foreign relations? It's interesting to read that foreign leaders were warned by the Trump advance team to keep any remarks they make very short, because the president has an attention span of a four-year-old. And if you go on too long, he will tune out. For that matter, we've also learned that you better use the word Trump in every paragraph. He tends to perk up when he hears his name. And so keep saying Trump in your paragraphs, and maybe you'll be able to keep the leader of the free world awake for the entirety of your meeting. Donald Trump did already flub, apparently, tweeting when he got to Israel. This is what we referenced before the show started. Some of you may have missed this. Tweeted when he got to Israel that he just got back from the Middle East, leading some to point out churlishly that Israel, in fact, is in the Middle East. Another sad note we have to address: the passing of Roger Ailes. I'm just kidding. It's not a sad note. We'd have the party hats and the party favors, except we forgot to bring them. Okay, that sounds awfully low, stooping to celebrate the death of a fellow human being. Well, I might quibble with the use of the term human being, except for the fact that I was the one who used it. Still, I might quibble with the use of the term human being. Am I celebrating the death of Roger Ailes? Hell yes, I am celebrating the death of Roger Ailes. A human being who has spent his life ruining the lives of others, prematurely ending the lives of others, is someone whose absence should be celebrated, not lamented. In fact, we will be having a party this weekend to which our listeners are invited. A Roger Ailes is Dead party, following on the heels of our very successful Antonin Scalia is Dead party. We will be holding this party at the home of our producer, Damian Hardeen. And what's the address on that, Damian? It's apparently the city of Fuck You, which I'm not sure what the zip code is, but we'll get back. If you get to Fuck You, pretty sure you'll find your way there. You'll hear the loud music. Roger Ailes is Dead, serial sexual harasser, founder of Fox News, person who lied to America, dumbed down American conservatives to the point where we can actually have a President Trump and people can be celebrating this. Okay, we didn't forget. There was some stuff that came up on Russia and Comey. It's pretty hard to follow on the heels of last week, where we found out that the former head of the FBI wrote a memo about how the President of the United States had asked him to curtail an investigation into Russia's meddling in the elections. And then we saw how the President of the United States, having the impulse control of a four-year-old, managed to share with Russia some confidential information. And yet this week did a pretty good job of measuring up. Obviously, the big news of the week was the naming of special counsel, former FBI chief Robert Mueller. Someone who is deemed, Mueller is deemed by both sides to be a man of integrity who can be expected to do an actual investigation. Now, the special counsel will still be under the auspices of the Justice Department, so we need to look out for meddling there. But it is possible that things will be moving forward and efforts to squelch this investigation might actually prove fruitless. This becomes especially important when the former director of the CIA just gave testimony to Congress, where he pointed out that even prior to the election, the CIA was very disturbed to find out that Russia was seeking to meddle in our elections. and that there were strong indications that members of the Trump team were helping them do it. This was congressional testimony. That there was interference by Russia and the administration team may have been helping them do it. Am I the only one out there saying, is there some reason that nobody knew about any of this before the election? Oh, we found out about Hillary Clinton's emails. We found out that someone had found a computer and there could be emails on it. That was worth sharing with the American public. But a foreign rival undermining a U.S. presidential election, nobody saw fit to mention that this is something that was being investigated. Oh, that liberal media. Oh, those liberals. What else did we find out about the Russia connection during the week? Well, it turns out, once again, more information about how early the administration knew about former NSA chiefs Michael Flynn's contacts with Russia and lying about his foreign lobbying for Russia and Turkey. And that the administration, as several people now have testified, knew it long before they finally fired him. In fact, knew it before he was even hired. Leading people to ask, if you knew about this, if you knew he was under investigation, why would you possibly hire him? Well, how far does this scandal go? We've got a new liar front and center on the scene from the administration. Vice President Mike Pence, who takes his marching orders from Jesus, except apparently when it comes to telling the truth. Then he takes his marching orders from maybe Donald Trump. And Mike Pence blatantly lied several times about when he knew about Michael Flynn and the fact that he did absolutely nothing about it. So throw Mike Pence in with the group, which now includes just about everybody front and center in this administration who has lied about their ties with Russia. Another interesting story that came up, of course, was a story about House Republican leaders sitting in a room and discussing possible ties between Trump and Russia. And second in command of the House of Representatives, Congressman McCarthy, saying he's in the paid employ of Russia, speaking of Donald Trump. When asked by reporters, he said this to Speaker of the House Paul Ryan and others in the room. When this was brought up to them, when McCarthy and Ryan were asked about this, both of them denied that it happened, that it was said. Nobody said anything about Trump being in a paid employee of Russia. And then they were told that there was a tape, an audio tape of the incident. Oh, that incident, you mean. Oh, that paid employee. Oh. Yeah, no. We said it, but we weren't serious. More and more, this is an administration of the old John Lovitz character from Saturday Night Live. The liar who goes from one lie to the next as he gets caught, and his fallback position is try some other lie to lie your way out of it. And last but not least, the President of the United States bragging last week to his Russian guests, whom else, about how the firing of the FBI Director James Comey relieved great pressure from him and his administration. Think about that for a minute. The firing of the guy who was investigating you relieved great pressure from your administration, indicating perhaps that that was part of the intent in firing him, not that this would surprise anybody, and constituting what most people would say is per se obstruction of justice. Firing the guy who was investigating me relieved great pressure, and that's a wonderful thing you say to your Russian bosses? This seems once again like Donald Trump has basically confessed to an impeachable offense. Let's see. So we get him out. Then Pence has been lying all along about the whole thing, so get him out. Paul Ryan was part of that lying about understanding that Trump was being paid by Russia, et cetera, moving on. What number do we have to get to before we get to someone who's actually qualified to run this country? But it's going to be pretty low. Okay. Trump budget proposal came out. When I say Trump budget proposal, I mean the new foundation for American greatness. That's what you're going to call it. The new foundation for American greatness. Why don't you just name it? Are you fucking kidding me? How much contempt do you have for the morons who vote for you? New foundation for American greatness. I had some harsh words to say last week about some Trump supporters. Some of you may notice on our Twitter post that there was some negative reaction. We welcome negative reaction. Smug liberals condescending to Trump voters. As a smug liberal condescending to Trump voters, can I just point out that it's really not fair for you to be this fucking stupid and then not allow us to point out that you are this fucking stupid? You can't eat dog shit in front of me and then complain when I discuss your eating habits. Once again, a bunch of crap. Noting, of course, how much Trump and the Republicans look down, condescend to their voters, as represented in part by the Trump budget. The one good thing of which is the extent to which it absolutely screws the idiot rural, poor white people who voted this guy into office. Here's my take on liberals talking about how voters need to be more informed and more thoughtful. Here's my thinking on the subject. I'm a liberal. I say that to my students and now my listeners all the time. And the reason I do that is because I actually have enough respect for my students and my listeners' intelligence that I feel that if they were prodded to make an effort to be informed and to be thoughtful, they will make better choices. We will have a better country and a better world. I challenge them to do better, to make this democracy better than it is. Fox News and Republicans, on the other hand, will always tell you how smart you are, how you can't be fooled, how you see through things. Well, here's some advice for you. If you're really uninformed about a particular issue and somebody comes to tell you how smart you are, guard your wallet. Republicans have to tell you how smart you are. Fox News have to tell you how smart you are, because the thing that that scares them most is that you might actually make an effort to become better informed and more thoughtful voters. So they tell you how smart you are to make sure that you don't have any incentive to go do that. Democrats might say nasty things about Republican voters, and people who made Donald Trump the president of the United States make it real easy for us. But it's the right that really has contempt for your ability to make a good decision. Okay, we're going to have a little bit more on the Trump budget in a few minutes when we talk about what Donald Trump has accomplished and will be accomplishing in his administration. I'd like to one last piece of news, though. The New York Times ran a wonderful article a few days ago on the increasing use by businesses of something called non-compete clauses. And I expect that even if you heard about it, the implications for you may not be so clear. The idea of a non-compete clause is that your employer has you sign something, perhaps among many other documents that you're not reading, that says that if you decide to leave your job for any reason, you cannot take a job with a competitor. Now, I remember years ago when I was studying for my first bar exam, and I guess my second one too. I remember reading about how non-compete clauses would only be enforced by courts if they were reasonable in time and place and manner and restriction. Well, many years of conservative judges throughout our system has probably, as obviously, relaxed that rule a little bit. And what's happened is businesses have started using non-compete clauses abundantly. Originally, the idea was if you are an engineer for Google, let's say, making a lot of money, but knowing a lot of secrets that Google would not want its competitors to know, it's understandable that Google might have a rule that says you can't go work for a competitor for like a year or something after you leave Google, at which point whatever information you have would undoubtedly be obsolete, so go ahead and work for anybody. But now, apparently, it's hitting almost 20% of American workers being bound by non-compete agreements. The general employment situation in America is something called employment at will, which means you can leave your job for any reason, an employer can fire you for any reason. The theory is this: what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If you can leave your job at any minute, and obviously we have a somewhat sordid history of people not being able to leave their jobs, so we're really reluctant to bind people to their jobs. But if you can leave your job for any reason, it makes sense that the corporation should be able to fire you for any reason. I've been arguing for a long time that those two situations are not analogous, and in fact, this is a business-friendly rule. Many people, because of health care or other reasons, really are kind of bound to their jobs. But that being said, now businesses have learned that they could basically force you to contract your way out of employment at will, at least out of your side of employment at will. What does this mean? This means employees at businesses don't need to worry about leaving. Employees who can't ask for a raise. You walk into your boss's office and say, I need a raise or I'm thinking of going to a competitor, and your boss starts laughing at you and says, you can't work for a competitor. If you look at page 37 of your contract documents, it says that you can't compete. You can't go work for anybody else. And so people are now stuck at their jobs. Actually, this reminds me, a few years ago, tech companies, Apple, Google, I forget who else was involved in this, maybe Microsoft, I forget which ones were implicated, were actually had an illegal agreement amongst themselves not to hire each other's workers. Same effect. By taking away any options for the employee, you put an employee in a position where he basically just has to accept the offer being made by his employer. So now they're applying it to people working, among other things, in the fast food industry. Because apparently, if you leave McDonald's and go to Burger King, you might take with you their secret recipe. I don't think they even have a secret recipe anymore. Just another example of how this country, the battle between conservatives and liberals, is between the owners and the workers. And guess which side isn't winning? Probably the side you're on. Okay, listener questions. I was asked by Avi in Queens, one of our favorite listeners, because he asks a lot of questions. What are the merits to reporting the race, religion, creed, etc. of someone who commits a crime, act of violence, or terror? Avi proposes, the only time I can think of when it's appropriate is to identify someone when he or she is at large. Otherwise, if the person is in custody or dead, why tell us which tribe they belong to? Why do we need that information? Doesn't that lead to more cultural divisiveness and tribalism? And I think the answer to that last question is yes, it leads to more cultural divisiveness and tribalism, which frequently, of course, is absolutely the intent. Let's show another Muslim doing something bad. Let's show another black person doing something bad. Let's make sure that we reinforce in the minds of our viewers that it's us against them. Because after all, if they don't hate black people, if they don't hate Muslims, if they don't hate women, if they don't hate gays, if they don't hate all the people that conservatives have been telling them to hate for so many years, they might at some point sit down and decide to hate the people they really should be hating. They're corporate masters who are basically making decisions to ruin their lives. So to some extent, there's a good reason that we do that. I could think of some other reasons why. If the identity of the assailant, of the perpetrator, is relevant to the decision that was made, then you say, okay, then maybe that's worth bringing up. Other than that, I would agree. I don't know why it would be important to point out that the person who did this crime is black or Muslim or whatever else, unless there's somehow behind that some reason for it. Avi had a couple of other questions related to that, which, being told, we're kind of running out of time. We're going to leave those till next week. You'll all be in suspense until then. But in the last few minutes, I'd like to spend some time talking about Trump abiding by his pledges. Turn on the radio, and when they talk to a Trump voter, you'll hear, oh, I think he's doing a great job. He's doing exactly what he told us he would be doing. Well, what exactly is he doing? Let's start with his budget. Okay. His budget declares war on poor people's health care, drastically proposes to cut Medicaid funding, which will lead to more dead Americans, cuts back on nutrition assistance. Those damn greedy children always thinking they have a right to a meal. Like Newt Gingrich a few years ago, famously talking about how eight-year-olds should be out working. Most of us agree otherwise. Cutting the EPA's enforcement budget. Cutting the EPA's budget by more than a third. That's right. Rejoice, those of you who think that one of the big problems in America is our air is too clean, our water is too drinkable. Let's cut funding for the EPA so they can't do their job keeping Americans safe. What are we getting for all of this? Tax cuts worth trillions of dollars for billionaires. That's right, billionaires. How many dead Americans would it be okay for you to step on in order to get a little bit more? How many dead children is worth a 10-foot larger yacht? Or a 10-foot larger plane? How many children should be sacrificed for you to have a little bit more? Oh, we'll be building a wall, apparently. We will find the money for that. Wait a minute. We're going to be finding the money for that? There's something like $1.6 billion in the budget proposal for building the Mexico wall? That's Mexico's budget proposal, right? That's Mexico's budget, not ours. That's not the new foundation for American greatness. I thought Trump said Mexico was going to pay for the wall, which shouldn't be built in the first place. Well, it's okay because these trillions of dollars in tax cuts being made up in part by cutting that small part of discretionary spending that allows for protection of the environment, meals for children, ultimately education, health care. It's all going to balance out in the end because it turns out this budget's going to create so much American greatness that we're going to be growing at the rate of 3% a year. And that's how the numbers almost begin to make sense. We're going to grow by 3% a year. Doesn't sound unreasonable until you look at the fact that we've been averaging for a long time about 1.6%. What's the difference? The difference is almost 100%. We are expected to be growing at basically twice the rate of recent history. That's because billionaires are going to have more money? That's supply-side economics. Haven't we moved off of that bullshit? The people who promoted supply-side economics originally, as we've discussed on a prior show, have already moved off of it. David Stockman, Ronald Reagan's first budget director, described himself as having sobered up. Although I think he's being generous to himself. I'm sure he, like most people, knew it was bullshit in the first place. As Irving Kristol pointed out, we were dubious of the economic implications, but we knew what the political implications were. In other words, you're trying to separate people from their money. This is the kind of bullshit you sell them. Oh, but you respect your voters. Unlike liberal, you respect conservatives enough to tell them about how if we just give more money to rich people, everything's going to work out wonderfully for them. What a lot of respect you have for them. 3% economic growth, tax cuts that pay for themselves, magical thinking, voodoo economics. This is what's being peddled to the people who apparently are upset that I called them morons. Donald Trump's budget proposal is premised on the idea that his voters are such morons that he could sell them any kind of vile snake oil and they're going to buy it. Are they going to buy this one? Well, Republicans have said this is a non-starter. Probably Freedom Party people have, because he says he's not going to cut entitlements, Social Security and Medicare. And that upsets the right. In other words, the problem with this budget isn't that people are going to die and people's future is going to be flushed down the drain. Uh-uh. The problem is not enough people are going to die. That's the problem. We have government filled with corporate executives. Ethical waivers being issued in secret. So we don't even know which government employees have been freed from any ethical rules governing their conduct. The government ethical watchdog asked recently for a list of people in various government agencies who have received secret waivers of ethics. And the administration pushed back and fought and said, you can't do this, prompting an angry response by the government watchdog. The problem is when you've got an administration that is simply dedicated to looting this country for whatever is not nailed down before they are finally thrown out of office. Ethical requirements are kind of a problem. We have handed all of our government agencies, such as the EPA, to fervent opponents of those agencies. We have threatened to rescind an Obama regulation making millions of workers eligible for overtime pay. More benefits for corporations. Corporate, that's a quickly on that one. Corporations learned people are required to be paid overtime unless they are salaried management employees, in which case the salary is expected to cover whatever hours they're needed to put in. So corporations learned years ago, just call everybody a salaried employee. Just change everybody's designation. Congratulations, you're now a salaried management employee. By the way, that comes with a huge paid cut because you no longer get overtime. Obama instituted rules that said if you're making very little money, you cannot be exempt from the overtime requirements. Well, they're going to take that one away too. They're launching efforts to dismantle Dodd-Frank, the one financial regulation that was issued in the wake of the financial crisis that destroyed the world's economy. Financial regulations that were instituted following the Great Depression in the 1930s to prevent it from happening again. Did those rules prevent it from happening again? Well, it happened again 70 years later, except it turns out that what happened in the meantime is this country had lurched so far to the right that they removed, at that point, all of the rules governing financial companies. When they removed the rules preventing it from happening again, it happened again. Big surprise. So after that happened, the one law that was implemented was Dodd-Frank. So look out, they're trying to get rid of that one. And it's liberals who have a low opinion of conservative voters, right? You keep telling that, Fox News. Anyway, more on this in our next show, more on what's been happening in the Trump administration, so you have a better idea of how they're screwing you, even when other things are dominating the news. Like looking forward, go to forwardnationradio.com. That's forwardnationradio.com, and get the full experience. You'll see video from this in every episode there and on our YouTube channel as well. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and don't miss the next Forward Nation Radio podcast on Podbean at Podbean, P podbean.com. If you love what you heard, like us on Facebook. Tell your friends, spread the word, Forward Nation Radio. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.